Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi everyone, you're listening to the Third Coast Podcast. I'm Dennis Young.
And the winner is...
No, I can't tell you just yet. There's still a little waiting left before we can announce the winners to this year's Third Coast Richard H. Driehaus Foundation competition. But pop by our website, thirdcoastfestival.org, this coming Wednesday, the 8th of October, to see and listen to the best radio stories of the year. And believe me, there are more than ever this year, including our first Little Mermaid. And remember, you can celebrate all of this year's prize-winning audio stories with us at our awards ceremony on Sunday, November the 9th, in Chicago. 99% Invisible's Roman Mars will be handing out the trophies, and true to form, he'll also be giving us a look inside the world of award design. Also, earlier that same day, Nancy Updike from This American Life will be sharing a few of her favourite examples of vice and inappropriateness from radio, TV, books, and films. If you'll be in Chicago, it's a can't-miss Third Coast double feature. For tickets to one or both of these events, visit thirdcoastfestival.org and click on Happenings. We have a special feature for you on the podcast this week. It's a story called The Last Days of Hollywood Park by producer David Weinberg about the final days of a once famous Southern California racetrack. I've never been there myself, but after hearing this piece, I'm honestly sorry that I'll never get to go. A bit of a warning, there are a couple of curse words in this story, so be aware if you plan to listen with the kiddies. Alright, I think that's enough from me. Now, here's this week's podcast.
June 16th, 2005, started as a pretty typical Thursday at Hollywood Park. Vic Stauffer, the track announcer, was in his usual spot in the announcer's booth. It's way up in the air, 7 stories above the turf, overlooking the man-made lake with its waterfalls and the pink flamingos that live in the infield. From up there, it feels like you can almost touch the planes that fly over constantly. Vic peered through a pair of binoculars as 6 horses entered the starting gate.
They're off. Artaby Good, Dark Beauty, and Lady Lacaine all
show. The horses broke out of the gate, and Lady Lacaine took the lead. And then suddenly, as the horses approached the first turn, the earth started shaking.
And we are in the midst of an earthquake here in Southern California as Lady Lacaine goes past the half-mile pole. By the way, folks, I want you to know I loved you all, and horse racing was my first love.
The horses didn't even seem to notice as they rounded the far turn and headed down the final stretch.
Pleasant Thunder alongside these two come to the wire in a shaker!
Vic says this was one of the most memorable races he's called in his 13-year career as an announcer at Hollywood Park. It's a place he knew he would work at from the first moment he visited when he was just 10 years old. I asked him what he's going to do after the track closes.
I don't know. Be devastated. It's just the nature of life, and it's the nature of certainly this business. You gotta, one door closes and another opens. I'd like to punch in the mouth every person that said that to me.
From Vic's perch above the grandstands, he can see the bugle player, Jay Cohen, as he strolls onto the track in a top hat, long green suit coat, and shiny black boots. He walks up to a microphone and flips a switch.
I am about to go play the call to the post. I've played it over 88,000 times, and that song lets everyone know that the horses are coming onto the track.
Well, One by one, the horses appear from inside a tunnel, like football players coming onto the field at the beginning of a game, only more majestic.
Should be a good day of racing today, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely gorgeous.
In 1936, Hollywood Park was nothing but a swampy bean field in Inglewood. But two of the four Warner brothers, Jack and Henry, saw the land as an ideal spot for a horse racing track. Southern California already had a track at the time, Santa Anita, but because of anti-Semitism, Jack and Henry weren't welcome there. And from the beginning, it was a place to be seen. If you were a movie star and you wanted to be in a Warner Brothers picture, it was a good idea to show your loyalty to the studio by playing the horses at Hollywood Park.
The skies are clear, the temperature's in the 70s as we enjoy our usual cool sea breeze from the Pacific Ocean, which is only 5 miles away, and the flag is up, and they're off, and running.
And horse racing was the most popular sport in America. When Seabiscuit raced War Admiral in 1938, the year that Hollywood Park opened, 40 million people listened to the race on the radio. Even the President of the United States, Franklin D. Roosevelt, stopped a cabinet meeting to listen. And for over a decade, Hollywood Park had the highest attendance of any track in the country, right up to the 1970s.
I think my generation was where it started to kind of unravel.
Nason Smith spent a lot of time at Hollywood Park in the 70s, when the glamour started to wane. His dad was a bookmaker. He took bets illegally on the side.
The track in the 70s was so much seedier. Different kind of place.
The writer Charles Bukowski was also a regular at the track. In a column he wrote for the underground newspaper Open City, he described Hollywood Park this way. The horses look the same, and the people a little worse. The horse player is a combination of extreme conceit, madness, and greed.
It was like hanging out with carnies or something. When I would go there, Charles Bukowski would be there. I went up to him one time. He was at the bar, and he was drunk, and I introduced myself. I was about 16, something like that. I had a beer and a racing form, a cigarette, and said, you know, Mr. Bukowski, you know, I'm a writer, too. I'm a bit of a poet. And I was wondering if you had any advice for me, like how do you break into the game or whatever. And Bukowski turned around and said, you want some advice? And I said, yeah, I'd like some advice. And Bukowski just sort of lifted his arms, just sort of gesturing to the place. And he says, I'll give you some advice. You should get the fuck out of here. And then he turned around and went back to drinking.
Today, Hollywood Park isn't so much seedy as it is empty. Attendance rarely tops 5,000. There's a lot of theories about why the sport is in decline. You can bet online now. And with 30 minutes between each race, there's a lot of downtime, unlike football, baseball, or even NASCAR, where the action is constant. And people, they don't seem to value pageantry the way they used to.
You know, there's a certain poetry and beauty to the horses that is like no other sport. And it's disappearing.
There are three horses buried at Hollywood Park. Their bones will be dug up and moved when the track closes. Great Communicator, Landaluce, and Native Diver are their names. Native Diver was one of only two horses to win the Hollywood Gold Cup 3 times. The other is Lava Man, who is still very much alive. In fact, he still lives at Hollywood Park.
He's a happy boy, always a happy boy.
Salvez Rivera rides Lava Man, who's retired from racing. He works these days as a stable pony, which means he accompanies racehorses to the track, kind of like a chaperone at a high school dance. I have to say, I was a little starstruck meeting Lava Man, a horse who's won over $5 million in his career. And he's a beautiful animal. Doesn't say much, but he loves carrots. Salvez and the other 500 to 600 employees and the 1,200 horses that live in the stables at Hollywood Park, they're all in limbo. They're not sure where they're going to go. Some employees and horses will go to nearby tracks like Santa Anita or Del Mar.
Everybody is moving on. Times change, and that's what's happening.
Jack Liebau is the president of Hollywood Park. He says that ever since the 2004 initiative to bring slot machines to the track failed, there wasn't much of a chance of the park staying open.
The profit isn't sufficient to sustain the operation here because the land is just too valuable.
Hollywood Park sits on a tremendous amount of land. The sprawling infield dotted with palm trees, the grandstand, and the massive parking lots that surround all of it, plus the stables on the backside.
There's 260 acres of land here, and it's the largest undeveloped site, really, in the Los Angeles basin.
After the grandstands and the stables are leveled, developers plan to spend $2 billion on a mixed-use development called Hollywood Park Tomorrow. It'll have office space, retail, nearly 3,000 residential units, a 300-room hotel, and two lakes. Naomi Filburn is one of the employees looking for a new job. She's been a bartender at Hollywood Park for 28 years. Naomi is a touch over 5 feet, with bright white hair and lots of jewelry, a look she describes as kind of blingy. In her nearly 30 years here, she's seen the occasional big winner, but mostly people lose money.
So then one time I had a customer came over to get a drink, and he had said that he had, I just lost $300 on that horse. And I said, well, you should have given it to me. I would have at least appreciated it. And he said, well, then you'd have to marry me. And I go, why? Were you going to marry the horse?
Naomi has known many of the track regulars here for decades.
I've been coming here 40 years, so I'm glad to be a part of it. My name is George.
George, like a lot of the regulars I talked to, was not terribly heartbroken by the news that Hollywood Park was closing. Most people just shrugged, said they'd drive to Santa Anita or go next door to the Hollywood Park Casino, which is staying open. They're going to expand the off-track betting facility there for the thousands of gamblers who spend their weekends glued to the TV sets that broadcast races from around the country.
The five horse will win this race easy. Okay, five. Turn it on, baby.
Tomorrow he gonna win, not today.
Look good, four. Come on, five, baby. Take the rail, five. Take the rail, five.
The final horse race at Hollywood Park will be on December 22nd, when the bugle player Jay Cohen will walk onto the track, hold his bugle up to his lips, and play the call to the post one last time. Then he says he'll play Auld Lang Syne. And finally, hooray for Hollywood.
The Lost Days of Hollywood Park was produced by David Weinberg and was first broadcast on KCRW as part of the Independent Producer Project.
Hooray for Hollywood, that screwy ballyhooey Hollywood.
You can hear more work from David on his podcast Random Tape, which you can find at randomtape.com. The name of the podcast pretty much describes it dead on. And it's strange and lovely all the same. If you really missed ReSound this week, remember you can listen to every single episode ever on our website, thirdcoastfestival.org, or download past episodes the same way that you found this one. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Alright, that's all for this week's podcast. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode of ReSound, and as always, thanks for listening.
Not all from TV's Lassie to Monroe's chassis is equally understood.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.